The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Today's date is November 18th, 2024, for the podcasters. I hope you all had a great weekend. I went to church yesterday, enjoyed the sermon, and it's a nice Reformed church, too. And it's good to hear theology rightly expounded in so many ways. I like that. Hey, look, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want to watch the show, you can do that. That's easy. You can just go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and you can watch it there. Also, if you want to email, emailing is easy. All you have to do is direct your email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and put in the subject line radio comment, radio question. All right. Now, it looks like I'm not exactly sure when the date is. I got to check. Maybe it's in the CARM calendar. We got somebody who's putting the CARM calendar together. And I've got a debate coming up on unconditional election on, I'm not sure what date, because I don't see it in the calendar. So it's on a Friday, either this week, next week, or the week after. Something like 1, 2, or 3 weeks. So there you go. That's what... That's what's going on. I got to get more information on that. I got to figure it out. You know, I'm always doing stuff. And that reminds me, we're revamping, we're overhauling the CARM website. And let me just tell you, wow, there is so much to do. We are going in and fixing things behind the scenes, links, forwards, loops, just all kinds of stuff that missing thises and thats and graphics. We're having to change a bunch of stuff. We're just doing an overhaul of the site. It's going to probably take a few months. And that's why I haven't written any new articles. I get up in the morning. I just work for 3, 4, 5 hours doing this. And then my brain fries. I can hear it go, psss, and then I know I'm done. I start talking in circles like, hey, today, yeah. And then my wife says, you need to take a break. So I do that and recoup pretty well. All right, we got callers coming in, and why don't we just jump on the calls? Let's get to Brad from Iowa. Brad, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. What do you got, buddy?
Wonderful. Yeah, just got a question regarding, well, it's two passages that I think kind of go together. Just trying to get an answer to this question. First, I guess to start with, our Deuteronomy 19. 16 through 19.
Okay.
Just reading here from the LSB. It just says, if a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and the judge who will be in office in those days. And the judges shall inquire thoroughly, and behold, if the witness is a false witness and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he intended to do to his brother, thus you shall purge the evil from among you. So taking that pat, or taking that and going over to Deuteronomy 22, it's a section, I don't know if you want me, since it's those 8 verses, if you want me to read it again or if you want to.
So what was the first set? I'm going to get up on my computer. I was a little bit behind you there. Deuteronomy what?
Well, the first what I just read was Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 19.
Okay. And then malicious gossip, malicious witness, it is a dispute stand yep. before, okay. And then if anyone takes a wife, goes in and turns her away. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would cover our Deuteronomy 22, 13 through 20, I think it was through 21. So going through it, my question is, because do you want me to read it? Because it probably make more sense just going through it, or do you want to read it?
I can read it. It's 13 through 16. Yeah, it
says 13 through 21, I guess, in totality. Yeah. 21.
Well, let me kind of paraphrase it. If anyone takes a wife, goes in and turns against her, charges her with shameful deeds, and publicly defames her, girl's father, mother shall bring the evidence for her virginity, etc. The girl's father shall say to the elders, give my daughter to this man or wife. But he turns against her, behold, to charge her with shameful deeds. So the elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him. Okay, behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds. Did not find your daughter a virgin, but this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the garment, okay, I know what that means, before the elders, okay, and they shall fine him 100 shekels. But if the charge is true, then that girl is not found a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, man of the city shall stone her to death. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is, should the man have been stoned to death in accordance with Deuteronomy 19? Ooh. And I'm just wondering as to why he wasn't. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something, but since he was a malicious witness.
It's a degree of sin. So in the Jewish culture, a virgin woman in youth was extremely valuable and extremely holy, extremely important. And so when, more so than what we understand here, she was like a prize, like this is a pure woman. This is a woman that is pure, and through her, we can help fulfill the requirements and the admonition of God to multiply, fulfill the earth in the God-called, elected people of Israel. So her virginity, in line of this, is a symbol of purity and holiness. It is a very serious thing because it represents, to some degree, the calling of God in Israel. So it's a very serious thing. And the issue of, I don't know if she's a virgin or not, is another issue. Because what evidence is there? Now, when it says bring the garment out, usually in the first act, I'll be polite, might be children around, there's usually a discharge of blood, etc. And so they can bring that garment out to say, see, here it is. And that's one of the ways of demonstrating the virginity of her. And so if he's wrong about that, then he's not doing the same thing, the same level as her, forfeiting her virginal purity in the eyes of God, family, and people, versus him what's going on. And then making, I don't think so. And then he's proven to be wrong, so he's to be, there's a chastisement for him.
Yeah, because I know I think where I was having trouble with was where it says, and he turns against her, meaning, and I think, and the definition it showed with that word being like hate, to hate her. Mm-hmm. And so what it made it confusing with me if he was going and being, and bearing false witness, knowing the fact that if you have some knowledge that, if this turns out to be, false, not true, if it turns out to be true, she's going to die. But if it's not true, then I'm not going to die, but I'm going to just get, chastised. And maybe I was misunderstanding it, because just seeing with what severity. God said in Deuteronomy 19, and then, seeing the correlation to where he's bearing false witness against her, I thought he should receive the same penalty as her.
You have to be careful, because there's an error called ethnocentricity, and that is we judge that culture by our norms. It's just something we automatically do. So that's why I say in that culture at that time, this was how it was looked at. It's just different than now. And so when a young girl would lose her virginity outside of marriage, that meant she was fornicating.
Yeah.
This brings great shame upon the father, and also upon the household, and upon that immediate community and the family, extended family. Great shame. This is bad. It's also a rejection of the covenant of God and his work of the Messiah through the people of Israel. So this is really a serious thing. When she's doing that,
right.
And that's why there's other places where they say when a man lies with a woman and he does this, he's going to be killed, because it's on his part there. This, however, is not the same level. He's just doubting and he's really having a hard time with her, you know, virginity. And says, are you really a virgin?
Okay.
Because it's a very serious issue.
Even when it's right. And even when it says in that verse 13 where it says, if any man takes a wife and goes into her and then turns against her, does that make any difference? Or is that as far as when, you know, the hostility, I suppose, in that?
Well, yes, he turns against her. Now, there's a problem.
Right.
There's other problems. He's got to take care of her. He may hate her. He may not want to be with her, but he's obligated to take care of her. But he wants to divorce her, but there better be really good grounds for it. And the grounds would be her infidelity before marriage. Now, we would say, well, wait a minute. That's not infidelity because they weren't married. But that's different. Because in that culture, there was usually a year-long betrothal. And in order to break the betrothal, they had to go through a ceremony like a divorce. They were not married, but it was such a serious thing that, you know, they had to plan the wedding feast. They had to do all this stuff. It took a long time. And during that time, she's supposed to be pure. And then if she's not during that time, this is horrible. This is catastrophic. Mm-hmm. So he goes into her. He goes, wait a minute, which how would they know? And he knew whatever. Not a virgin, because there's supposed to be a discharge. Mm-hmm. Maybe there wasn't. Anyway, so there's issues there, and because not all women have that discharge when they lose a virginity. Sure. So
yeah, my hang up was just seeing what God has prescribed for bearing a false witness, and then seeing this where it's I probably missed how, you know, with the context and everything and stuff, but just reading it and seeing, well, if he's throwing a charge against her, and you know, basically throwing this charge out, and it turns out to be, you know, if it was true, she would die. But if it's not true, he doesn't die. He only gets chastised, fined, and stays his wife. That was my thing. I'm just trying to be consistent. But I guess, like I said, I probably just didn't see something, within that.
Yeah. That's all right. Cultural context and the things associated with it are the hidden gems that you go, oh, I get it now. That's why it was so serious. So that's what it is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think, the thing that. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, need to go to the next.
No, it's okay.
I guess my biggest fear, but just the thing that shook me, I just couldn't get quite an answer until, because just seeing that, obviously God was the one speaking, or, you know, God was the one speaking in Deuteronomy or in 19, you know, basically prescribing that, right? And then seeing, and then making, basically seeing that if God, making sure God's, you know, if God's being consistent in what he's doing and not wanting, and obviously not wanting to think anything bad, or, you know, that he's doing, not that it's not inconsistent, but just trying to understand, you know, why I'm seeing that way, I guess, if that makes sense.
That's okay. Well, yeah, it's just culture has a lot to do with it. It just has a lot, you know, like during the betrothal period, the son would build a room onto the house of the father. They would have to go and arrange all kinds of stuff. The fatted calf, the wine, the family would come in. It was all arranged. This is a big deal for her to be, you know, unfaithful during that time. It's very serious. So that was why. Okay?
Right.
All right, buddy, there's a break.
Okay.
Sounds
good. Thank
you. All right, man. Okay, God bless. All right, folks. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. Let's get on with Alex from Florida. Hey, Alex. Hey, buddy. Welcome back to the show, man. Alex. I clicked on him. Waiting for you, Alex. You there? Let's give him a little bit of time here. Maybe there's an issue.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can. Hello? There you go. All right, buddy.
Okay, sorry, I was muted.
That's all right.
I was feeling a little under the weather. I was wondering if you had any suggestions of anything I could do to make myself feel better.
Yeah. Do you take vitamin C? And baking soda, and not too much like somebody did. And then you take that and wait 2 hours. It makes you feel better in water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't trust a guy named Slick, let alone a doctor, or a guy who thinks he's a doctor named Slick.
That's right. You shouldn't do that. You should not trust a guy named Slick. That's obvious. All right. So what's up, man? What do you got?
Yeah, so I was calling back in. I want to tell a little bit about my experience in Chennai in India, going to the Catholic Church there.
Okay. Okay.
So we were talking about Roman Catholicism, how it has a false damning gospel, and yes, just the heresy that is involved in that. I'm writing this paper on it. So when I was doing some ministry work in India, I know the Apostle Thomas is allegedly, you know, but he's allegedly buried in Chennai in India, in Southeast India. So we went to go visit where he got tortured, where he was buried, and where he was imprisoned. So I get there, and I mean, it's cool to be in a place like that and see everything, but the idolatry that the Roman Catholic Church had turned it into, statues of Mary everywhere, mm-hmm, big shrine, the Pope had been there. It's a sacred site for the Catholic Church. And it was just so disturbing to see. And one thing for sure that just always is burned in my brain was, it was the first time I had seen penance done, where a woman is on her knees groveling towards a statue of, it was either Mary or Jesus, and she's just on her knees trying to get forgiveness by just crawling on her knees towards the statue. Mm-hmm. And
sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. We, you know, praise God, after she was done, me and the pastor I was with, we got to share the gospel with her and her son. Her son had brought her there. But, and then another time I saw a woman kissing the statue of Mary, you know, lots of them on their knees to the statue of Mary. And the terrible thing is this, Thomas would be rolling over in his grave. This was the apostle who went out to India to preach the gospel, and the Catholic Church has turned it into something twisted and not even recognizable anymore.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Well, I've been to Jerusalem and seen that firsthand with the Catholics who are bowing before stones where Jesus supposedly was. Little idols here and there. You go into stores and there's idols. When I was in the Vatican, we left, went right outside, and within 100, 200 feet was a store, and you go in and there's idols, icons, pictures of Mary, Jesus, all a store full of it. You just buy these things because they're going to help you. When I was did a cruise for fun, I had just vacation kind of a cruise, went to Mexico and was in a church, went to a Catholic church, and saw the same thing, a woman crawling on her knees up to a statue of Jesus, and to the right of Jesus was a statue of Mary. You know, and I spoke to her in Spanish and said, this is not going to help you, just, you know, need to believe and trust in Jesus alone. And, you know, what are you going to do? They're just lost.
Yeah, I had heard about it, you know, but I had seen it in person is something else. It's so disturbing, demonic, wicked, and it was just so eye-opening. And they're obsessed with these statues and all this, just icons and things like this, and they're just they're enthralled with it, you know, and they think it makes them more holy. It thinks it gives them forgiveness, when we know it's only through Christ alone we have forgiveness. There's no amount of statues we can kiss, no amount of idols we can have in our house that will bring us closer to God. And the Catholic Church is going to answer, the priests are going to answer, the Pope is going to answer for all the heresy. Oh, that's the other thing I was going to say. Speaking of the Pope, it's one of three holy places. So in India, Chennai where I was at, in Spain, and where you were at, the Vatican. Because the Pope has been there, it's holy.
So stupid. It's just so
pathetic. I know.
Gosh.
I know.
You know, people who, they don't have Christ in their heart because they have the Catholic Church deceiving them and turning them into idolaters. And it's just, it's sad. You know, what it says in Exodus 20, verse 4, God says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above on earth beneath in the water in the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. And then in Deuteronomy 5, 8 through 10, it says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what's heaven above and earth beneath or water. You shall not worship or serve them. These are the iniquities on the fourth generation. And the iniquity is there in that their hearts are hardened, and it's just sad. But you know what I find interesting is that the countries that have heavy Roman Catholic influence, unless Reformed influenced countries integrated with them and influenced them, those countries generally are, you know, not third world, but second world, not first world, like United States and stuff. Yeah,
they have some sort of morality and some sort of, law-abiding things there, where they try to do law and order. And that's what I'm writing in my paper, is the Catholic Church has mixed so much error and heresy with the truth that it deceives many.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and you're right. You know, it's the Catholic Church is going to be held responsible to God for it. You know, when I was in the Vatican last month, the pomp and the gold and the silver and the tapestries and statues and all the wealth, and the Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodox, they both have these things. And, they tell me that they have the apostolic authority because they're the descendants of the apostles, their authority. And I keep asking them, well, is this what they collected to themselves? Gold and silver? Is this what they did as the apostles? No, but you guys certainly do. And then there was this, St. Peter's Basilica, we were there, they had this one chair where only the Pope is allowed to sit in. Only the Pope can do that. I want to get up there and sit in it, but I don't want to get tarred and feathered either. But, it's pathetic.
Yeah, and the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God.
That's
I mean, it's basic right there, and they're obsessed with wealth.
Uh-huh. And churchianity. Yeah. Hey, man, hold on. We got a break coming up, okay? Hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these churches. After these messages, please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Alex from Florida. All right, man, you still there?
Yeah, still there. Just one really, really one brief thing, because you were talking about the Catholic Catechism and all the crazy stuff that's in there. Catholic Catechism 846. Reformulated positively, it means that all salvation comes from Christ the head through the church, which is his body. So unless you're in the Catholic Church, you're lost. That's what they teach.
Oh yeah, that's
totally false. Totally false.
Yep. Oh yeah. But I mean, you know, I've talked to Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, so they're just so very similar, but I'll ask them: is there salvation outside of being a member of your official church? I've had many of them say no. Let's see. So let me get this straight. So my faith in Christ and what He's done on the cross is not enough to make me right with Him? They said no. You have to belong to His church and take His sacraments. So, yeah, they just have a false gospel. They don't even understand the gospel. It's bad.
I know, and we just gotta. You know, like I was reading last time, I probably got to keep praying for them, keep doing what you're doing, sharing the gospel, tell them what the truth gospel is through Christ alone. We don't need to be a part of a quote-unquote Roman Catholic Church or Eastern Orthodox Church or whatever you want to fill in the blank. It's just through Christ. That's who gives us the forgiveness of our sins.
Amen. Our faith is in Christ. He did everything. He did everything necessary. So what we need to do is trust in what he did. And what they often do is they will say, oh, then you can go out and sin all you want, right? And they fail to understand that along with our belief that God grants to us, he comes in and lives in us. And he justifies us. And he regenerates us since that we're made new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. They don't seem to understand what it means to be regenerated, to be born again, to have God in us. They just assume it's a set of rituals and regulations you got to keep. And that to them, salvation is an attitude of submission to a church with rules you keep. That's what salvation is to them. But they don't understand regeneration of what it is in our hearts and our minds. They don't get it. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, they don't. And when you talk to them, that's why when you say, well, where are you going to go when you die? Well, I don't know. Well, I hope heaven. Sure. They don't even have full, they don't have full assurance because they're trusting in their works.
That's right. Exactly right. That's what I've been saying for so long about the Roman Catholic Church and more so also in the Eastern Orthodox, that both of them are false churches. And they are, I say, and I'll say it again, that the Catholic Church, because it's the biggest church in the world, is the greatest gate of damnation of any religion on the planet, even worse than Islam. And I stand by that. So, you know, people just don't know how bad it is, how bad Catholicism is. They think, a lot of them just think I hate the Catholic Church for whatever reason, you know, is abused as a Catholic or some stupid thing. And they go, no, it's a biblical issue. And I tell them it's biblical. And so,
Paul says, if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed.
Good. Where's it say that? Come on,
Galatians.
Buddy. Galatians what? I always give my friends a heart.
Galatians. Oh, I just quoted it for my paper. Is it 3? Is it 3?
Galatians 1, 8, and 9. Okay, there you go. I'm helping you out.
Okay.
Yeah, give you a hard time.
I was like, I just quoted that.
Well, you should know where it is, you know. You should,
yeah. I know, it's right. I'm staring at it. It's in the first paragraph right there. And I'm like,
right there. But yeah, you're on pressure because thousands of people are listening, and I don't want you to feel nervous. You know, it's not a big deal, okay?
I'm human, people. I'm human.
Well, I'm glad you, though, have the correct understanding of Catholicism and its false gospel. It is not Christian. Roman Catholic Church is not a Christian church. Okay. All right.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah. Glad we could talk about that a little bit. Thanks for chatting, and let's just keep praying for them and keep sharing the gospel with them.
That's right. That's what we do. We preach and teach the gospel to all people. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for one who would believe. Yep. Amen. So praise God. All right, man.
All right, I'll see you, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. Okay, bye. All right, now let's get to, Alberto. Alberto, welcome, man. You're on the air.
Yes, something related to the same thing. My question is about the Roman Catholic Church. I was in this video, YouTube video, about this guy was exposing John MacArthur. He was saying John MacArthur is demonizing the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church been around when the first century.
Wait a minute, wait, hold on. So a Catholic was saying that John MacArthur is demonized?
No, he was demonizing the Catholic religion, the Catholic Church, because he was talking, he was showing the video.
MacArthur was speaking badly, exposing the heresies of Catholicism.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So good. He was saying that John MacArthur was demonizing the Catholic Church, and then a lot of his church members were ex-Catholics in John MacArthur's church. But a guy was saying that a lot of the people don't understand the true history of the Catholic Church, so then a lot of them need to come out of John MacArthur's church and know the true history of the Catholic Church.
Right.
So he was saying that a lot of Catholics are being deceived by John MacArthur. And
the Catholics are saying they're being deceived, that John MacArthur is deceiving people. The Catholics are saying that, right?
Yeah. He was saying that, a young guy in the video. Then he was saying that that the Catholic, the only one church that existed was around was the Catholic Church during the first century, and there was no other religious group Pentecostal or Reform or Baptist and none of that.
That's they just presuppose the validity of Catholicism, and the church definition must mean an earthly organization, and they're the only one around. They don't understand what the Catholic Church what the church really is. They and I have to teach them on it. I say, let's look at what the Bible says the church is, because there's many different understandings of it biblically. But they don't study. They don't do that. They don't study. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching your video. I was watching your video online when you called issues in the Roman Catholic Church. And a young girl was talking to you in the video. You're exposing all the false heresy of the Catholic Church about the indulgences and the penance and all the different things that they do one thing or another thing. You were talking about it. You know, even my uncle, right, talking about the young girl talking about laying on her knees. My uncle, I remember he took a picture of him. He was crawling on his knees. I mean, a long steps. I mean, a real high hill. Went to a church top on top. You got to walk on his knees all the way to the top of the steps to the church. Mm-hmm. And that's what they, you know, that's what I guess some kind of practice the Catholic Church do. So I guess they get some kind of forgiveness or something. Even my own father, I remember he used to pray to the dead. I got the whole table full of candles, pray to the dead and all that. You know, and he used to pray to a statue, Virgin Carmen, you know, as a prayer. He believed that one time he was about to drown. He just cried out to her that she's the one that saved him from drowning. And so, you know, I was always up for Catholic Church. I didn't know any better, so you know, And so he used to also have a statue in front of outside of our entrance of our house. He bought one, and it was some kind of virgin thing. Then they put a Catholic church right on top of a hill in the neighborhood. They built a view, and everybody climbed up to the steps all the way up to the Catholic church.
Right.
The priest was describing, you know, that cloth with the different stars.
I gotcha. So
virgin.
There's a lot there. Do you have another comment or question you want to add in there?
Well, my question is so why, if the Catholic Church, why do the people, and they know all this, why don't they just read the Bible for themselves? Why don't they just read the Bible for themselves?
Because like the cults, they're taught and brainwashed into submitting to the organization above them. Like the Jehovah's Witness organization says that the average J-Dub cannot interpret the Word of God by itself. They have to have the organization's authority. They just believe it. They just submit themselves. The same thing with the Catholic Church. Only the magisterium has the right to interpret Scripture because it has the authority of God, not the individuals. So it keeps the individuals under their thumb and is in control of their salvation. In fact, when I was having a discussion Friday or Saturday night, I don't know, with some people, Catholics, I said to one Catholic, I said, is the Catholic Church in charge of your salvation? And he said, yes. Just that simple. I said, it's not Jesus. You know, it's Jesus through the Catholic Church. So they always want to make sure that Jesus points to their church, because their security is not in Christ. It's in their church, so they have to have Jesus helping them out. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I heard two cases that a lot of Roman Catholics who's truly God saved, born again, are staying in the Catholic Church to make changes in the Catholic Church. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So they can make changes in the Catholic Church to help people discover the truth of the true gospel of Christ. So I don't want to make them stay in. They won't leave the Catholic, they stay in it, so to help make changes in the Catholic Church so people can wake up to the truth.
I've heard of that, and praise God for the missionaries in the Catholic Church. Good. All right. There's the music, but we've got to go.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Hey, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Please give me a call.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Charles from Dayton, Ohio. Charles, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there? Charles? Hey, buddy. Are you on the air? Are you there? Listen. Amen. Give you another little bit here. Might be trying to get back to the phone. All right. Okay, well, let's put him on hold, and we'll get back. Okay, let's see. Let's get to Brandon from South Carolina. Brandon, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm very well.
Okay.
I just have a few questions. How do you espouse this while profiting wealth off naive Christians?
I'm sorry, what? Say it again.
How do you profit wealth off of your radio show on naive Christians?
Wealth? So I'm getting wealth from doing radio? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're a Christian apologetic whatever network has a whole Wikipedia page. So how much of that money goes to actually serve the people Christian network?
Dude, I don't get any money. I pay to be on the air. I'm paying.
Sir.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. Why don't you ask instead of start accusing right away? Because I don't get any money.
I very politely asked you. It's just interesting because I look at your Wikipedia page and I look at the amount of money that you get, and then I look at the amount of money
Wikipedia page. So do you know that in the Wikipedia page we had lots of battles with the leftists and the atheists who would constantly
and
alter it?
And it has nothing to do with leftists.
Can I talk? Hold on, don't be rude. Don't be rude. I'm trying to tell you something. Okay, you go to Wikipedia, I'm telling you, you can't trust it. All right? Now, you said how much all the money I make. Well, how much do I make? How much does this Karm bring in? Do you know?
Let's Wikipedia it real quick.
I can tell you if you ask me. I can tell you because you go to Wikipedia where we have antagonists who don't like me. They go in and they alter the stuff in there. And this is your source of information. Our gross income last year was around $280,000. Okay. That's it. And out of that, we have to pay for hundreds of dollars every month for the radio show, hundreds of dollars every month to host the website. We have missionaries in Africa. We have missionaries. And he's gone. In Turkey, we're supporting missionaries in. We have Malawi, Nigeria. We had missionaries in Colombia. Missionary in Brazil. We're supporting financially. The money goes out, okay? It's out. We are broke all the time. We are broke all the time. Every single month, we were hoping to make ends meet. Every single month. I say to my wife, because she keeps the books, I'd say, we'll just pray and trust God. Hopefully, we'll have enough money to pay the missionaries. Okay?
I mean, that's noble. I'll apologize on that respect. Your Wikipedia has been heavily edited.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, 3 months ago, I was saying to my wife, let's just not pay me. Let's pay the missionaries. That I wouldn't take a check so that they could get paid. It didn't happen that way. But that's what I wanted to do, so that they would be able to get paid. See, you got to ask questions. Don't be telling us how it is. Well, you do all the, you don't know. Ask, okay?
You tell us how it is, don't you?
I'm just now telling you.
Telling man how it is.
I just told you. Look, I just spent 3 weeks in Europe on a tour, a Bible Land tour. You know how I was able to go? Because if people sign up under me, I get enough money to get a free trip. That's how I was able to go.
So let's talk about what you talked about a week ago, I believe, predestination. So you think that everybody that's going to go to heaven...
No, everybody's not going to heaven.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying everybody that's bought into your genre of Christianity is going to go to heaven. So what about the believers that are not, what's the point in believing them?
What? My genre? My genre of Christianity is that everyone and all people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God in flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead,
that's
salvation by grace through faith. If they put...
Hold on, dude.
Don't be talking to me while I'm answering the question. It doesn't do any good. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, what he's done, they're the ones who go to heaven. whoever that is. Okay?
That doesn't make sense with what you said to a caller about a week ago, where you said you are chosen.
Second Thessalonians 2:13, you have been chosen for salvation from the beginning. God chose you from the beginning for salvation. Okay? In Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we be holy and blameless. I'm just quoting scripture. If you have a problem with the scriptures.
Oh, I have no problem with the scripture. I have a problem with your interpretation. So I will ask you.
Okay, let me ask you.
God created some people that are just going to go to hell. He created people with souls that are destined to go to hell. How do you rectify that? How do you logically tell me that there's an all-good, all-serving, omnipotent God that creates people specifically to go to hell?
Well, let me ask you. I will. I'll tell you what my opinion is, and then we can talk, okay? See if you agree with my opinion. My opinion is that God has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked, for the day of evil. I believe that. Do you believe that? I do.
No.
You believe that? Huh? I'm sorry.
No, I believe in free will.
Okay, so I just quoted you Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. And you denied that. So let me get this straight. You come in and you think you understand what the issues are, and you don't even know what the scriptures are teaching. I quoted you the scriptures.
I'm very well equipped with the scriptures. What I'm asking
you
is, even if you were to base your belief on that piece of scripture, you're telling me that you're all good, all benevolent, omnipresent God creates human beings to go to hell. Answer that question.
What's wrong with that?
Your whole theology.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
That's not an all good God. That actually goes in.
Can you show me a verse? Can you show me a verse in the
Bible?
Hold on a sec. Brandon, can you show me a verse in the Bible where it says God is all good? Can you show me that? It doesn't exist. And here this is what you do.
Hold on. Is there a better God? Perhaps there is a better God.
Hold on. Hold on. What you're doing is you're defining God in a certain way and then saying that some. Would you be quiet and listen? Let me answer you. You're defining God a certain way, all loving, and then you're saying, this is how he's supposed to act. Well, let me read to you scripture again. What if God, verse 21 of Romans 9, does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand for glory? Do you believe those verses?
Sir, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So you're telling me that a person that is destined to go to hell, no matter how much they pray for Jesus, they're going to hell. So
no,
you're
no,
telling
no,
me.
No, you don't understand.
No,
you
our
don't understand.
God in the New Testament, sir,
Excuse
unless
me.
You're going back to the Old
Excuse
Testament,
me.
Which is a different
Excuse
conversation.
Me. Excuse me. I asked you a question. You ignored the question. I asked you if you believe the verses I read to you. Out of Romans 9, 21 through 23, that God makes from one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use, and he did this, vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Do you affirm or do you deny the word of God there? Come on.
Of course I affirm.
You affirm?
I'll affirm
then you have to affirm that God has made vessels for destruction. Just as Proverbs 16:4 says, he makes all things, even the wicked, for the day of evil. So your problem is with Scripture. Not with me. I'm repeating what God's word says. Most Christians don't like it because they have a man-centered theology where God is obligated to be the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, standing at the door of your heart, asking permission for you, in your wisdom, to let him in. And that salvation becomes active when you do something in your wisdom. And the atonement of Christ becomes powerful when you do something in your faith,
really,
in your
sir.
Free will choice. You have a man-centered philosophy.
Respectfully, I will say, God has begged in the Old Testament for people to believe in him. So honestly his duty to be an all-good and all-powerful God. If God is not all-good and all-powerful, then he is not a God. Like, this look, is look. Philosophy 101. This is so easily destroyed. Hold on, hold your on. Argument is false.
Hold on. Hold on. Did, so what, you, what did you said
Jesus
free
say?
Will.
Hey, quote me. Quote it so, to me
so,
again.
Hold on. So you had free will. You said talk about free
Anyone
will, right?
Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile.
Okay,
the same
on.
Lord is Lord of all
guy.
And richly blesses
guy,
all
guy,
who
guy.
Call on him, for everyone who calls that's on the right. name of the Lord guy. Will be saved.
That's right, whoever does.
But no,
so
that's
we believe
not
that.
Your ideology.
Yes, it is. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's what
like
I teach.
You espouse predestination.
Yes, I do, because the Bible
I'm
teaches
confused.
It. Romans 1, 5, having been predestined. It tells us.
Dude, that... Your translations. That's fine. But, like, dude, do you understand the problem here?
Yeah, that you don't understand
that's
Scripture and you don't know how to think clearly. That's the problem. Look, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Ephesians 1, 5. Do you believe in predestination? He predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself. That's Ephesians 1, 5. Do you believe in predestination? That's what Ephesians 1, 5 says.
Predestined who?
He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself.
Find your argument.
I'm just asking. I'm just quoting you the verse about predestination.
Who is us? Dude, define us. It's not a hard question to answer.
Well, we have to look at the context. The us... I'll tell you who the us are. I'll tell you who the us are from the context. It's the chosen ones. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us. He chose us. That's the chosen ones. They're the predestined ones. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5.
Young man, Acts 10, 34 through 35. God is not like
are you
man.
Trying to set scripture favorite. Against are you trying to set scripture against scripture?
I'm setting your interpretation of it in the fact that you have a large
I didn't interpret it.
I'm
reading it
now. I wouldn't say large, but you have people that I'm listen to you that are believing this which is not true. And
you mean
bothers.
When I quote the scriptures
mentally it
wait but hold on I quote the scriptures it's not true when I'm quoting you and answered you with God's word every time that's not true.
Did I not quote you several scriptures? Mine are less true than yours from the same Bible?
You can't that's set so scripture weird. Against scripture. Hey, look, guy, we're out of time. The music's going on any second here. Call,
of course
there it
is.
Call back tomorrow.
Like to get challenged, big boy.
Call back tomorrow. Yeah, call back tomorrow and challenge me.
Call
back
tomorrow. Because you don't like
we're
to
out of time, dude. Call back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow. The music's going. It's a hard break. Hey, folks, hope you enjoyed the discussion. Hope he calls back tomorrow. Have a good evening, everyone. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.